Come on, England.
No, say it.
Oh, cue music, man, Charles.
No, say it.
Say what? Ciao for now.
No, say it.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, patrons. Happy Tuesday. This is the second time we're recording this because we just had a power cut.
Take two.
And it was one of those power cuts where the whole thing, the whole building, the street lights, everything went out for all of 2 to 3 minutes. And the recorder didn't save the audio from the first recording.
It's okay. We'd only recorded about 7 minutes.
You know, was it only 7 minutes?
You know what? I just realised you haven't got the questions out.
No, I've got my Slack here.
Ah, well done.
No problem at all.
What's your game, Serge?
Second half only. Got home.
I know that.
I was out with the missus. Courtesy of Clayton. So, missed the first half. Listened to it on the radio, driving back from central London, and listening to Talk Sport was the radio station that had the commentary on. Stuart Pearce was on. I don't know who was actually the commentator, but Stuart Pearce was co-coms, and just spent the first, like, from I got into the car at about 15-20 minutes in. And she spent the next 10 minutes moaning about England's defence. Senegal's press was too good. And England's midfielders were not doing enough to help the defence get away from the press by receiving the ball. So basically, according to Stuart Pearce, in that 15-20 minutes that I was listening on the radio, Rice needed to do more to make himself available to pick up the ball from Henderson and Maguire. And Henderson needed to do more to make himself available because that's how England were going to beat the Senegal press. And then when they get the ball, they needed to turn and drive forward. That was basically what I understood as the problem of the first half an hour of the game based on Stuart Pearce's analysis on Talk Sport. However, it was only a few minutes after that that Henderson scored. So, you know, everything changes after that.
Well, yeah. I was, as I've already told Serge, doing my own analysis at the time of why things weren't working. It certainly wasn't a Declan Rice problem because I don't know what, because he'd been left in midfield by himself. So I don't know what he could have done to have made himself more available. We essentially played 4-1-4-1 rather than a 4-3-3. Although you could certainly make the case that the starting position was higher. We speak about this a lot in terms of City and Arsenal do this, where they kind of break into defence five, attack five. So starting in, you're trying to get a line of five across the attack. And that's what England were doing in the first half. And I thought they were too high. And as in Henderson and Bellingham. And therefore, we were struggling to get the ball into our attacking players.
Yeah.
But that also led to the first goal, the fact that they're higher and that we're able to be, rather than starting from deeper positions, we're already in advanced positions to go and run in beyond. Kane, how many times do I sit here and say, I want him to drop deep? Even looking on, I'd glanced at Twitter, the ball went out of play around the half hour mark, and I glanced at Twitter, and the first tweet I saw was, why is Kane dropping deep? Okay, it's this again. And last night it worked perfectly with him dropping deep, obviously linked with Foden on the left-hand side and have this left-hand side bias. It still exists. And the two players have gone and run beyond and scored. And Southgate, tactically, got it spot on. I think the reason he did it was, I think, to play that system with the four rather than a 4-3-3, so 4-1-4-1. Foden has to play. He's used to playing in that system for City, right? They're often, to be honest, more often than not, they'll play with a second player in there now, whether it's a Bernardo or a Gundogan. But how many times have we seen City just leave Rodri, or in the past, just leave Fernandinho and play with De Bruyne and another, almost more like 10s than 8s, and they really start high. And that's what we did positionally yesterday. So definitely wasn't a Declan Rice problem. The problem was we couldn't get the ball into advanced areas.
Yeah, which I think was the point he was maybe trying to make without pinpointing why there was a problem, perhaps.
So I wasn't even moaning when I said it, but it just looked funny because I was explaining it to my mate Richie. I was like, this is the problem. And I put it on Slack as well. This is part of the problem. But it wasn't even a moan. It was just a tactical observation because I wasn't at any point. They had a couple of chances in the first half, but I wasn't ever concerned going into the game that we weren't going to get there. we weren't going to win it, even if it took extra time, whatever, absolutely convinced that our individual quality would shine through. They were very aggressive. They did a lot of man-to-man stuff off the ball, which is part why get Harry to drag one out. Now, against France, they're not going to do that.
No.
They're not going to go in tight man-to-man. And the left-hand side bias, which I spoke about more last summer, actually, during the Euros rather than sort of during this tournament, is a potential problem for England against France at the weekend, because on the opposite side of the pitch, if France get quick switches of play and we're overloaded to the left, they've got a certain weapon who can be fairly unstoppable, Suge. And I don't know if that means we play differently. What do you think of a back three?
Not keen.
Because?
I think it takes away from one offensive player that we might have. I think you'd find that it would be Henderson would be the one to miss out, probably.
I agree.
And, yeah, I like a back four with a heavy bite, like Henderson dropping in a bit deeper and then Declan Rice having the job of doubling up with Kyle Walker. Like, your job is to make sure that he don't get fucked by Mbappe. And if he does, you're there to mop up the pieces if need be. And John Stones is the third guy tag teaming in to try and stop him. I think we can do it like that. And I think England on their day can cause anybody problems. And I think France will have concerns at the back about what we can do to them offensively, especially with pace. Again, we've seen like Foden's not slow and Saka's quick and Kane feeding him balls and Bellingham stretching their legs. They're going to have defensive work to do at France. So, yeah, I don't want to take away from our offensive threat and the trouble we can cause them by going to three at the back, to be honest with you.
If he changes, it will obviously be Trippier for, and I think Henderson, but it will be Trippier that comes into the team. Walker will obviously go inside one. It will become a very much a back five without the ball. The thing is, it works. It's worked for England.
If I saw it, I wouldn't be like, Southgate's got to go. He knows what he wants to do. He'll have a setup for it and I'll trust the team to go and deliver. But I'd rather be aggressive than be passive.
But I don't think, I think people think back threes and back fives become passive, that they, that's not necessarily the case, because we talk about removing a forward player, basically. I mean, it's wrong.
We're making that tactical change to deal with Mbappe.
It's wrong to call Henderson an offensive player, basically. Yeah. He played a very offensive role yesterday. I'm sure in the second half he played more alongside Declan Rice, and I'm sure he probably would. I think what England would do more likely is go 4-2-3-1 and just play him deeper. And he'll play with a real lean towards the right-hand side. That's Henderson. And Bellingham will play still as an eight-sided left, but we probably won't have someone that will play as a right-sided. It will probably look a little bit imbalanced, almost like a staircase in a way. I don't think a formation's ever been defined as that before, but across the midfield, it might look like that, where it levels down, and then you get a step back up for Saka on the right-hand side. He's got to play. So one of the things I said...
He was good yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, he is good. One of the things I'd said, and I think a lot of us would have played Rashford, just go with the form. But I did say going into it, and I think this is probably why he did change it back, was Saka would have to play against France. He's really good defensively. You can play him at full-back, you can play him at wing-back. It's not to say he's going to deal with Mbappe one-to-one, but he'll certainly go and help. You know that. And that's not to say that Marcus Rashford wouldn't, just Bukayo Saka will make a better job of it. So the only thing I'd say is if he goes to a back three, the idea that we're removing one offensive player isn't necessarily the case, because you have to just transition between back five and back three. Shaw will play higher. Kieran Trippier will play higher. And you're obviously going to have to tuck Saka. You probably won't even tuck Saka in, because you'll have to deal with that side. But you could certainly tuck Phil Foden in from the left-hand side. Does this feel different to going into the Germany game last summer, where people weren't happy when that team come out and it was back five? People really lost their fucking rag, weren't happy. Do you think if we change it that people will understand it this time, or just be
more
vexed?
Likely to, of course, more likely to. I mean, Southgate keeps pulling it out of the bag, right?
You know what happens if we stay with a back four and we lose, don't you?
We should have changed it.
It's obvious already, isn't it? Everyone's got who they want in the team. Even the fact Jordan Henderson, who was quickly going to become like the new scapegoat, played really well and scored is helpful. So what are we going full circle back for Harry Maguire, are we? So Southgate will always be damned if he does, damned if he doesn't. Sucjanel knows the stat because I asked him before the power cut how many knockout games we've won since 1966, Suj. Do you remember the answer?
The answer is, James, 12.
Well done.
Did you know that Gareth Southgate has won six of them?
Very good, yes. Gareth Southgate has won 50% of England's knockout games since we won the World Cup when most people's televisions were black and white. Yeah, let's change manager. I think he'll stay with a back four. And I think what will probably change is Henderson will have to play a deeper role. The reason I don't think, when we got cut off, and you was asking about Calvin Phillips.
Yeah,
and
maybe,
the idea of bringing
maybe,
him into the team.
If we were going to play a back four, chuck Phillips in to give and play Rice on the right, Phillips on the left, and say to Rice, your job is to double up with Kyle Walker on Mbappe, and that's it. And then Calvin Phillips does any other mopping up work, and his distribution's decent.
I think there'll be a use for Calvin Phillips, particularly obviously if the game goes to extra time. We can certainly guess that we'll see that as a substitution. And Phillips did that kind of hybrid between six and eight role really well at the Euros to the right of Rice, so we know he can do it. I can't remember last time he started a game of football, Suj. Mm. It's part of the problem. Also, really interestingly, Phillips's range of passing is better than Henderson's. Henderson's got a little bit more, to be honest, experience. Like Phillips can do all the pressing and stuff. It just might be short of match fitness. But I don't think we need the range of passing. They are really easy to play through, France.
Are they?
Yep. Honestly, Poland should have gone ahead in the first half yesterday. Now you could make a case as well and say Senegal could have gone ahead. USA could have gone ahead before the Netherlands opened on Saturday. And those might have all been different games if those individual moments had had a goal and changed. But France can't press. Can't press. We have to understand that all going from Senegal to France is a big change in terms of the quality of the opponent. That's obviously goes without saying. But stylistically, the opponent is massively different. Senegal were aggressive. They went man-to-man in a lot of areas on the pitch. France won't do that. When Kane drops in short, I'm pretty sure that Varane and Upamecano aren't going to go with him. I fucking hope that they do. And I think we can overload France in central areas, actually, because Griezmann's obviously been playing deeper and he's been playing really well, actually. Rabiot has good games and bad games. Tchouameni is a very good player. But I actually think we can dominate against them in those areas. They can't press from the front. Mbappe's not going to do the work. Dembele doesn't do it well. Giroud doesn't get around the pitch. So actually playing into midfield from the back is absolutely fine. It's another reason why I think we possibly don't need the three. The three, I think, has often been used as an offensive weapon for England to give us control and domination of the ball defensively. I actually think we can still have it in a back four. Plus, if Kyle Walker plays like Matty Cash played yesterday, you just sit in and you see Mbappe all the time. I actually thought Cash played him really well. He did as well as he possibly could have. You know what Matty Cash is like? He flies down the wing, right? None of that yesterday. It just wasn't going past Mbappe at all. He was going to stay with him all the time. And that's what Cole will have to do. Cole wasn't exactly bombing on last night. So I think it probably will be a back four. I think Henderson will probably play deeper. And I think it'll be the same team. Phil Foden is not coming out of that team now.
Well, he can't because Sterling's...
Well, he could. He could bring Rashford back in, or he could bring Grealish.
True. I mean, Sterling, we know, has come back to England, and we're not sure if he's going to go back.
Did you hear what happened?
He got armed robbery at his house.
Fucking terrible, mate. Mm,
not good at all. So, yeah, I think Phil Foden's nailed. I think Saka's going to play. I'm with you. I think it'll be pretty much the same team again.
I think it'll probably be the same 11, but I think it'll be a different tactical structure.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can't help... Someone had a really good question on the stream this morning about... Could Mbappe be a bit of an obsession? And I think, yeah, he can, but rightly so. Because you know that if you can pocket him, which is nearly impossible, but if you can pocket him for the game, there's every chance we win.
I've been very impressed with England's finishing this tournament.
Oh, we're well outperforming XG, so someone's going to say that all.
I think but we've got good finishers. Phil Foden's a good finisher. Kane's a good finisher. Rashford's a good finisher. Saka's a good finisher. So we're not going to get we're not going to get a dozen chances against France, right? No. We might get four or five good chances. I'd back us to score a couple.
I would be very, very happy if you said, no, we'll have four or five good chances.
Yeah.
I'd be very happy with that. Where do I sign?
What do you think? What's your current feeling on the outcome of the game? All things considered. Not like genuinely, no bias.
Penalties.
No nothing.
Penalties. I think... with what I'm watching with my eyes at the moment, honestly, I think it's every chance we'll beat them. Every chance. I don't think that we will beat France, Spain and Brazil if Brazil didn't lose last night, because we are pre-recording this on Monday. I can't see us winning those three and them, but then in Portugal instead, whatever. I can't see us winning three big games like that back to back. I just can't see it. Now, that's probably an emotive in me.
Yes.
Because if you do it a little bit like the guys who were listening last summer, remember how much I kept saying the Germany game is the most important to clear the psychological hurdle. Because since 66, we'd never beat, with respect to the nations we had beat, we'd never beat a major nation in a knockout tournament match since we'd beaten Germany in 1966. So the Germany game cleared that hurdle. Then you see how they played against Ukraine, it was like all the pressure came off, and admittedly Ukraine were piss poor, don't get me wrong, but we deserved to beat Ukraine, we deserved to beat Denmark in the semi-final. In extra time we were brilliant. You wonder what will happen mentally if they beat the world champions, and it is a different France team to the team that won that tournament 4.5 years ago. And it's also worth saying,
different England team.
It certainly is a very different England team.
I mean, the dynamic of the squad is different at the moment.
Well, Jesse Lingard, Dele Alli in midfield. You know, Danny Ashley Young was at left back, wasn't he? Left wing back. Yes, the dynamic has changed massively. They have injuries. They have injuries, and we have to remember that. So, you know, on the Q&A, we did kind of a best England versus France 11 at the moment. There'd probably be a few more French players if they were all available. No Benzema, no Pogba, no Kante. They lost Hernandez at left back. They've had injuries across the squad. Mike Mannion maybe would have even taken Hugo Lloris's place in goal, injured as well. We haven't got that problem. Just Reece James, basically, isn't it? And Ben Chilwell, who probably wouldn't have been starting anyway, I don't think. Not in a back four in any case. Yep. I don't think so. Ask me some questions.
Let's do it. Alex Turner, it's the 20th December. England have won the World Cup. Southgate has been knighted and immediately retires. You've been put in charge of England. Which three positions are your priority to look at and solve before the next World Cup?
Well,
striker.
That went in a very different direction.
Striker.
No, centre-back's the first one, mate.
Well, you've got three positions. So centre-backs are going to be next on my list.
Looking at that last night. And
the thing with centre-backs is we've got players coming through that are young. I don't know where the next young English striker is. I don't know who the next young English striker is, mate.
But maybe we don't need one. Players like Kane honestly, I think if Kane wasn't at the tournament, if he'd have been out, I don't think Callum Wilson would be starting every game. I think he'd have probably played Foden as a nine. So I think the way the game's going, that's becoming less and less important, particularly as we are developing more and more, let's say, cultured footballers. Foden, Bellingham, almost non-English players, aren't they? I mean, Bellingham is ridiculous. He's the full package. He's capable of absolutely anything. I wasn't expecting that question. But Stones, I was like, get him off the pitch last night.
Preserve him.
Oh, yeah, man. Because if we lose him, you don't want to be, you know... Eric's been good for Tottenham for 18 months or so, but he's had a bad couple of months. I wouldn't want to see Dyer next to Maguire playing against France's pace. My God, don't need that. So centre-backs is got to be a real...
concern.
Yeah.
And then maybe left-back.
Yeah, left-back always is an issue for England. And actually, we're quite blessed in the sense that Luke Shaw and Ben Chilwell are both decent at the moment. But if Luke Shaw hadn't got back in United team, I think we had real concerns, didn't we? He probably would have just been playing Trippier out there. So centre-back, left-back...
Japan are winning 1-0, by the way.
Why are you telling me that now?
I just saw it on the score self.
I knew that because I was watching it on the TV when it happened before the power cut.
Oh, yeah.
And Japan scored and the power went.
Oh, nice.
So, we need a holding midfield player. A proper Kira Walsh midfield player. And I think Dekkers does the role great, but I really think he's not allowed to play the way he plays for West Ham for England. And he's doing a great job, by the way. I really, really like Declan Rice.
If you had a holding midfielder, would you move Rice to a more of an eight role, six role?
Would I like Declan Rice going as high as, say, Henderson did yesterday? Probably not.
Nah.
But could he play more of an eight? Yeah, of course he could, yeah.
Rob Pick says, are there any better players under 21 in this World Cup than Jude Bellingham? How terrifying is the thought of him at Man City? I mean, look, things go in cycles, so...
I'd go to Real Madrid now, I think. Because he's been a star of the tournament as well. So it looks like it might be moving beyond Liverpool from a price bracket perspective. Or who knows, they may have a takeover.
Buy them, right?
Exactly, so... but there have been noises over the last couple of months that he'd potentially like to go to Real Madrid. So, I mean, I'd be all for that. They potentially would be looking. Modric and Cruz are coming to certain ages where he's a very different player. But, I mean...
What a player.
Yeah, we are so blessed.
FF Thinker, who is the most unsung player in the England squad? I've got an answer for you.
Harry Maguire.
Conor Gallagher.
Because?
He hasn't been sung about. So, he's unsung, mate.
No one's talking about James Maddison. Are you Rado?
No, he's hardly had fun.
James Maddison now feels like he's won the lottery He won a ticket in a raffle to be England's 26th man. Well, he's number 25, isn't he? Harry Maguire is consistent for England.
He's been decent. Jarvo, who gets back into the starting lineup for England based on tonight's performance? Who should be dropped? I don't think. It's anyone should be dropped, and I don't think anyone walks back in.
I don't see what he changes other than he changes the system. Could he bring Phillips in for Henderson and play the same way? Possibly. Could he bring Mount in for Henderson? Possibly. That feels unlikely now. There's no way now he's not playing without Foden and Saka. No way he's not playing without Luke Shaw and Cole Walker. We know the two centre-backs won't change. So it is literally, does Kieran Trippier play or not?
Yep.
He's basically, as long as they get through the week with no injuries, that's it.
Jarvo, how good has Jordan Pickford been this tournament? Solid and dependable, giving the defence shit towards the end of the match for the chances they were giving away. Love it. I mean, he has been solid as you like, right? Three clean sheets out of four, two sloppy goals against... Iran when we were slapping them anyway.
Why not?
I think he's been decent. He's made a couple of decent saves. Like I said earlier, the save against Kiefer Moore was good. Save yesterday was decent enough. So he's all right, you know.
He's another one. To be honest, I'd say Maguire and probably people listening, what about Jordan Pickford? Yeah, you're absolutely right. He's consistent and he's good for England. There's not a doubt. His distribution's good. I just want to put a few more inches on him. I think if you put a few more inches on him, you'd be beginning to talk about him as really top level, and maybe we will start talking that way about him anyway.
Gary Mantle, slick Gary Mantle, which you're now referring
yes,
to.
Yes, slick Gary Mantle.
Are England performing above, below, or in line with expectations so far? Reaching the quarterfinals to face France seems in line, but I'm asking more performance-wise. So, James?
Performance-wise, in line.
Yeah, I think exceeding almost. If I said to you, England are going to go through...
It's the goals.
Four games, 12 goals, three clean sheets, eight different goal scorers, I think I'd heard yesterday as well.
Decent.
In the tournament now.
None of the centre-backs scored yet. They're next. They're next.
So, I think if you'd be like, yeah, all right, come on, I'll have that. I think they're well in excess of expectations.
But I think the performance, we have data now like XG, the performances haven't been as good as the scorelines. Was that a 3-0 game yesterday? No. Was Wales 3-0? Not a million miles. Did we deserve to get six against Iran? No.
You put the ball in
the net.
It's
the goals. No, of course. Do you know the highest XG in the group stage?
In the group stage?
Yeah.
It's going to be
of
like
all the teams.
I remember we were talking about like Belgium had five in one game or something.
It's not
like
them.
Don't know.
But you will equally laugh your tits off when I tell you it was Germany.
I'm mad.
Germany had an XG of nearly six when they beat Costa Rica. Partly oh got man. Partly.
Ivan Perisic.
Oh, that's bad.
Love him.
I've got him in the FIFA game. Sorry for the 24 hours prior chat.
David Hunter, just wanted to be the voice of reason and say I think it's really important we don't get carried away at this stage. Feet on the ground. Who What's wins coming? Ballon d'Or first, Foden or Bellingham?
Phil Foden.
He's good as well, eh?
I mean, this is what I'm talking about in terms of development. How old is Foden? What, is he 22, 3?
No, less than that.
Is he? Is he 21? Still a baby as well? Yeah. Bellingham's, what, 19?
Yeah.
I mean, look, we've been over this course before. Where again, I think we...
Oh, shit, he's 22.
Yeah. I think... But he's still a baby, isn't he, really? But we...
I don't know, he's got a kid. Did you know he's got a kid?
I think he's got about six, hasn't he?
No, he's got one. Ronnie Foden.
Ronnie Foden, as you
Apparently
are.
So.
Is that a boy or a girl?
Wikipedia fact file.
Is that a boy or a girl?
I don't know.
Anyway, do we, and this is a point I raised a couple of months back, should we now consider players to be at their prime at sort of 23, 24 rather than 28, 29? The way he just glided down that flank for Saka's goal, Foden, he just looks so effortless and at complete ease for him. He's such an exciting player. He's joyous to watch. He's so calm. He feels culturally non-English, right? He feels like a Spanish player or a Portuguese player. He's too good to be English. We're not used to having footballers like this. And it's exciting for the future.
Phil Foden has two children with his long-term girlfriend, a son born in 2019 mm-hmm. and a daughter born in 2021. I don't know who's Ronnie. Out of them, it doesn't say so.
Okay.
His salary is $620,000 a year. He's not on $50,000 a week. He's on more. He's got to be on more than that.
He must be. If he's not, that'll get fixed. Don't worry about it.
Rob Pick, as a Barnsley fan, I'm biased, but does John Stone get enough credit for how good he is considering lack of football? Hearing a lot of, say about Maguire, but Stone's next to him has been Rolls Royce. I think he came off with a niggle. We can't afford to lose him. Jarvo says, is his nickname really the Barnsley Beckham power? I think it's a bit tongue-in-cheek.
I don't know about
His actual nickname is James. Do you know?
Stonesy.
Paint Trophy.
What?
The Paint Trophy.
Paint Trophy?
Yeah, what's the Paint Trophy?
The Johnston's Paint.
Johnston's Paint
oh
Trophy.
Oh, my God. Literally never realised that. That's so bad. Imagine shouting that in the pub next week. Go on, Trophy. No, mate. John Stone's Paint Trophy. Go on, paint. I'm going to do that and see if anyone cottons on. I watched a game in the World's End in Finsbury Park last night, actually, is where I intend to go again on Saturday. It was good. There was no beer getting thrown in the air.
Lovely.
There was no, although it's enemy lines, there was no kind of Arsenal agenda going on. It was just people watching and supporting England. Good sing-song. Southgate still the one. It was all coming out last night. Didn't quite get Harry Kane, one of our own, going, but, you know, it was all right, decent.
Nice, fair play. Patrons, thank you for your questions. Maybe we'll be doing it.
Hold on. Are we winning on Saturday?
Yeah, I'm very confident.
You ain't watched a fucking football, Serge.
No, I watched all of the Wales game. I watched the second half yesterday. I'm very confident. I'm confident for the boys. I think, you know, like that Germany 4-1, Shearer and Sheringham tearing. Every now and then, England put a performance in that you're just like, fuck, it's all clicked. What the hell have they got to lose? They're young, they're fearless, the morale in the camp is good. I think they're going to put a performance on that is going to surprise people. Pace, energy, yeah, I trust them. I think 2-1 is a minimum. It might even be 3-1, but it might not be a 3-1 game, but I think we could really do well.
Since the draw, we've long thought we may come to this game. And we've had this before in tournaments where it wasn't clear it would be Germany, but it was probably going to be France, Germany or Portugal in the last 16. Last summer, we have moments like this where they come, Brazil win 0-2, and it just normally feels like Germany was the difference one last time. It normally feels like we'll fall short. Like the pressure mentally will become too much. This country will fucking melt in minus degrees temps probably by the time Saturday comes around if we win that game. All the hype is going to go through the roof really, really quickly. And then before you know it, it's semi 4 days later, final 4 days after that. It still feels to me unthinkable that England will win this trophy. But I do think we can win on Saturday.
Agreed. Patrons, stay safe, enjoy yourselves, and I really hope that I'm talking to you alongside James this time next week, still talking about England and the World Cup.
Maybe we'll be moaning this time next week.
True that. Stay safe. Ciao for now.
Thanks, patrons. Come on, England. Say it.
Come on, England.
No, say it.
Oh, cue music, man. Ciao.
No, say it.
Say what? Ciao for now.
No, say it.
It's coming home.
It's coming home. Cue music, man, child.
The Fantasy Football Show.